Let's learn.
Luvnei kahaz lenosen kavaydes hakaydesh alayim. So the Torah in this parish is Torah Halevim is dealing a lot with the responsibilities of Bnei Levi, the children of Levi. The Torah tells us that there's something unique and special that's reserved for Bnei Kahas, for that family of Kahas. Avoydes hakaydesh alayim. That there's a special malacha, a special avoda work for the children of Kahaz. And what's that? Because seif yiso. Which means that this mishpacha, the mishpachas haKahasi, has the responsibility to carry the Aron of Hashem, the Ark of Hashem, on their shoulders. So it says in Divrei Yomim, that when Yeshiyahu HaMelech, when the king Yeshiyahu was preparing to hide the Aron, to conceal the Aron, because of the events that were taking place, as is described at length in Navi. So Yeshiyahu, before the Gnizas HaAron, before that took place, he said, Ein lachem oid masa b'kosef. There will no longer be. In the meantime, we will no longer carry this, he said to the Kahanim, to the Levim. That's all machlok is Rambam and Ramban, whether it's Ledoiris with Davka Levim or Kahanim, not getting into that now. It's in the Shiroshim of the Rambam. But he said, Ein lachem oid masa b'kosef. You will no longer carry this, you no longer have the responsibility to carry the Aron on your shoulders. This is an astounding thing. Because, in truth, what he was saying was that the Aron was being concealed. The Aron was being put away. And the days of the Beis HaMikdash were numbered. But he was toiler the entire Metzias, the entire existence of the Mikdash, of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Klei HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash itself, and the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, on this one halacha, which is a prat, which is a detail in the halachas of the Mikdash, of the Klei HaMikdash, the vessels of the Mikdash, which is that it must be carried on the shoulder. And instead of crying and saying, Nebuch, there's no longer going to be an avoda, there's no longer going to be a Beis HaMikdash, he said, Ein lechem oid masa b'kosef. There will no longer be the carrying upon the shoulders. Apparently, this little din of carrying the Aron on the shoulders contains within it the tamtzis, the essence of the kedusha, of the holiness of the Aron, of the Mikdash, of the Klei HaMikdash. Is telling us something about ourselves now in Golus, that we're in a matzav where we no longer are able to carry the Aron on our shoulders. What does that mean? What is it about that prat, that detail, in the tahalich, in the seder, in the process of churban, that becomes Yeshiyahu HaMelech's way of saying that something is changing, the end is near, and the Aron is going to be put into Gniza. So we have a chiddush here from Rav Huttner and Pachad Yitzchok. And I'm going to try to explain the point of Rav Huttner and to elaborate on this chiddush. Rav Huttner writes in Pachad Yitzchok that we have two makoris, we have two sources in the Torah for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of teaching Torah. The two makoris in Chumash, two sources. The one that we're all familiar with, of the one that's found in Kriya Shema, is V'shinantam levanecho, you shall teach your children, V'lamatam oisim is a b'neichem, that which we're all familiar with. Here the Torah tells us that the ikar mitzvah of Talmud Torah is limun im habonim. Learning with the children, or as Chazal Darshan, the Talmidim, the students, are also children. But this is the one, the first makor, the first source for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and Chumash. Rav Hudna says is vilimadatim oisam v'shinamtum levenecha, to teach your children. But he says there's a second makor. There's a second source that's found in Chumash for the mitzvah of teaching Torah. And that is found in the Seder of Maimed Har Sinai, in the order of the revelation of Har Sinai. V'haydatam levanecha v'levnevanecha yoyim asher amadata lefnei Hashem alokecha b'chayiv. And you shall tell your children, and your children's children, your grandchildren, tell them about the day that you stood before Hashem by Har Sinai. So Rav Hudna says that here the Torah is Megala, a second source, but here the Hadgosha, the emphasis of the Torah, is not Talmud Torah im Habonim, it's not learning with the children, but here it's learning with the grandchildren, im Bnei Bon. V'haydatim levanecha v'levnei vanecha yoyim asher amadata lefnei Hashem alokecha b'chayrev. And the Gemara learns from here, the Gemara Kedushin Daf Lamed learns from here, Kol Amalame, this Ben Benoy Torah, whoever learns Torah with his grandson, Ki'ilu Kibla Mi HaSinai, that there's a unique quality to the Talmud Torah that takes place, to this teaching of Torah that takes place between a grandparent and a grandchild, where in some level they're transported back to Har Sinai. Here there's a special chiddush of Ki'ilu Kibla Mi HaSinai, as if they were standing in Har Sinai. So there's a special type of Talmud Torah, of Torah teaching, when one learns with one's eniklach, with one's grandchildren, that this type of Torah, of Hudna says, is a bechina, is an aspect of Maimon Har Sinai. Regular Torah teaching with children, with Talmidim, does not have this. But there's a special bechina, there's a special quality to Talmud Torah in Bnei Bonim. There's a special koyach that in some way brings about the reappearance of Maimon Har Sinai. Whatever that means, we'll see in a few minutes. Let's understand this. The pasuk says, "Koyseim lebeis Yaakov v'sagil v'nei Yisrael, atem re'isem as asher asisi l'mitzrayim." Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, "Atem re'isem, you have seen with your own eyes, atem re'isem as asher asisi l'mitzrayim, what I have done to Egypt." Atem re'isem. Rashi says, "Atem re'isem loy b'misayris ibiyadcha." This is not just a Messiah. This isn't just some tradition that you were Makabel, a Shmua. This isn't just something that you received by way of tradition, by way of something that you heard. Eloat, Rashi says, Atem Reisa. You have mamish seen it. Atem Reisa. When a person sees something, Rav Hutner explains, that when a person sees something, that re'iyah, there is nothing that's more powerful than seeing something, because that re'iyah, that experience of seeing, and the kviyas of something in a person's eyes, and the effect that it has upon the individual as such, that although it begins with what the person sees, and it begins in the eyes, but very quickly, that vision, that sight that one has seen with his own eyes is misparshet, it begins to spread. Its effect begins to be felt throughout the entire body until finally it reaches even the feet, the lowest extremity of the person's kaim, of the person's body, and will be toil upon the person to go and do something. For instance, if you would see, God forbid, someone in terrible trouble, and you see this, so initially the shock is very strong, and that shock is mispashit, and the heart begins to pound, and the perspiration, and you begin to, until finally, it's a matter of seconds, or could be even less than a second, where that re'iyah, where that vision, That visual experience is so powerful, it's mispashet ad seif adam, to the end of man's kaima, to the end of the kaima sa adam, to the end of the body. And it's pulled that even the reglayim, even the feet, that the feet begin to move in the direction of the person who's in need of your help. So explains the Pachad Yitzchak. And it's based upon an idea that's in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. It's a Tanya wrote about Bariches. Something happened at Har Sinai. That event of Har Sinai is described as Atam Reisim. The Baruch Shalom says, you have seen it with your eyes. And Rashi says, Leibim Messiah, it's not something you heard a rumor. Atam Reisim. Your mamas have seen this with your eyes. That initial visual experience of Har Sinai, of Atam Reisim, Yitzias on Simon Har Sinai, that experience was so powerful, had such an impact upon Kol Kaimas Yisrael. As the Tanya says in the Sfarim HaKadoshim explain that the Jewish people throughout history can be compared to the form of a human being from the higher generations that begin with the mind, with the brain, until finally this last generation before Mashiach, which is called Ikvasa, the Mashiach, the heel of that Kaima of the body of Knesset Yisrael that's like one human being from the beginning of our history to the last moments of Mashiach. Ikveis Mashicheinu, to the end of time, to the end of history, which is the Akev. That the effect of Atam Reisim, of you have seen what happened that day by Har Sinai, was so strong, was so powerful, that as a result of that vision, or that visual impact that took place years ago, this Emunah of the Jewish people, this Emunah of Knesset Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and Teresh B'Chsav, and Teresh Baal Peh, all of this has been mispashet, has spread, has made its effect, its impact known, until Ad Kedei Kach, that even this last generation, albeit in a very dim, in a very, very dim way, that Ad Kedei Kach, that this last generation is still poil, the feet are still moving, Mikoyach what? Because of the effect of that original experience of Atam Reisim. In other words, you and I, we might not feel excited, but we're still getting up, and we're still making Shabbos, and we're making Yontif, and we're putting on tefillin, and we say a couple of tefillas. And all of this is coming from such a re'iyah, that initial, the original re'iyah was so powerful that the spashtus of that experience is still being felt. The tremor, the impact, the aftershock is so strong that even people like you and I, who are so far from Kedusha, we still poil, our feet are still moving, taking us to Bis Medrash, we're still going to light Shabbos candles, we're still trying to go learn a little bit. Mikoyach Atam Reisim. So, that generation of the Midbar, let's call the generation of knowledge, of knowing, of seeing, that generation of Mayim and HaSinai was the generation of Re'iyah Be'inayim. They saw with their eyes. Yitzias Mitzrayim and Mayim and HaSinai. All of the generations following that generation, including ours, which is the bottom, which is the ache of the heel, all the generations following that generation are Doris of Mesiris, which means that we are the recipients of a Mesirah, of a tradition that was passed down from generation to generation with the current, with the electricity of that initial Atam Reisim, although weakened over time, nevertheless, the current, the charge, the electricity has been transmitted from generation to generation. So the generation of Mayim and HaSinai was a generation of seeing. All the following generations, including our own, are generations of Mesiris. That, as Rashi says, we are the ones that are receiving, it's being transmitted to us, and that Emunah, the Emunah that was born as a result of that initial visual experience, is still being felt to this very day. Therefore, here this is an extraordinary chiddush from the Parag Yitzchak, which I'm going to try to explain. Therefore, those of us who are members of the Dor, of the generations of the Messiah, of the tradition that was handed down, of the Messiah, Rav Hutna says, our achrayas, the achrayas of all the generations after Maimon HaSinai, of all the generations after the experience of sin, the achrayas of all the following generations is to do whatever they can, I'm going to explain how, to do whatever they can, to do whatever we can, to bring ourselves as much as possible back to Har Sinai, in our hearts, in our minds, to bring ourselves back to Har Sinai, to that bechina, to that greatness, to that feeling, that sense of clarity that's called Atem Re'isem, you have seen with your eyes. Lamaisa, what does that mean? What are people like us supposed to do? What does it mean to go back to Har Sinai? Rav Hutna says that this is the avoid of all the generations of the that received this tradition, to try to climb back, to try to retrace our steps, to experience once again the actual day of Atem Re'isem that you have seen with your eyes, and feeling that, and experiencing that, Atem Re'isem, Maimon HaSinai. So, l'moshel, the Gemara says in Brachos, Man desinosa beema bereses ubezeir af limuda kain. That means that just like when the Torah was given, just like when the Torah was first given, when just like it happened with that generation of sin, that the Nesina, when the Torah was given to the Jewish people were in a state of awe, ema, and reses, and were trembling, and zeya, and perspiring. So the Gemara says, Afli muda kein. The Torah was given with that feeling. When the Torah was given to us, we were shaking, we were trembling. We weren't sitting back in a shir with our feet up and a toothpick. We were shaking, we were trembling. Bereses ubezeya. So the Gemara says, Afli muda kein. That so should the Torah be studied even these days. When you learn Torah, it should be bereses ubezeya. And where is this learned from? Where did the Gemara Brachos learn this from? Yoyim Asher Amadatu Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chayrev. That when we learn Torah now, we have to try to learn Torah in a way that as much as possible resembles the way that the Torah was given. And the Torah was given in this state of awe and trembling and perspiring. So too, Kach Limuda. Afli muda kein, so we have to learn Torah. And where is this pasuk? So the Gemara says, Yom Hashemad Levnei Hashem Lekecha B'chayrev, and this is the mitzvah of Hedatum Levenecha V'Levnei Vanecha. That means, the more my learning nowadays, the more my learning of Torah and my experience of Yiddishkeit is with excitement, the more it's with a fire, the more I experience, the more I resemble that initial experience of Atem Re'isem, the more my Yiddishkeit is with a bren, is with a fire, it's with trembling, it's with awe, the more that Torah study, that Talmud Torah takes us back to the initial experience of seeing that took place at Maimon HaSinai. It was when we saw with our eyes, the experience left us shaking and left us in a state of awe, trembling. To the degree that a human being, even now, in these last this last generation of the heel, that's so far from the eyes, but to the extent that even now a person is able to experience Yiddishkeit in that way, and to learn Torah with such a hargosha, with a fire, with excitement, with a bren, then that individual, that person is then in some way, returning to Har Sinai. This is what Rav Huttner says. On some level, this is returning to Har Sinai. Because he's experiencing the giving of the Torah in the way that Hashem initially showed it to us. This is how the individual is experiencing it. When a person is bored, detached, when a person's Torah is unenthusiastic, when he doesn't feel the awe, the year, the aim of being in the presence of the Rabbi Shalom, of the Master of the Universe, when he's sitting and learning. So that person is confined to a generation that heard about Har Sinai. When you hear about something, it's not as impressive as when you've seen something. When you see something, the roshim that it makes, the impression that it makes is unbelievable. When you hear something, it's not as strong. And to understand this, I saw in the Aryeh Chesker from the great Mashgiach of Chaske Levenstein, that he brought down from the altar from Kelm the following. The altar from Kelm said, Habayra Yisbarach Shamay, the Creator Yisbarach Shamay, writes that Shetaheyem Unaseinu Boy, he wants that our belief in Hashem should be Begedechush Mamish. That our emunah shouldn't be something that we think about, we just hear about, that there's something there, but it should be bechush, as if you're mamish there, as if you're seeing it. V'shalein estapik b'yediyah ba'alma. That we shouldn't be mestapik b'yediyah ba'alma. With a piece of information, with simply knowing. But it should be an emunah that's bechush. In the Igeres HaKodesh from the Alter Rebbe, in the 15th parak, he's talking about the Nineveh Yesod. And he speaks about the Aderech Moshe Lehezkashu Shemekashu Ha'ov Sichlai B'Seichel B'Noi B'Shas Limudo Imai. He says, when a father is studying with his son, but the learning is taking place, the Tanya writes, the learning is taking place in the way of his Hezkashu's Imai, Mastam. Oh, we got to get this over with because he's having a Feher, or I don't want to feel guilty that I didn't learn with my kid. But when it's behiskashrus imai, when it's with an attachment, the father's seichel becomes attached to the seichel of the child. Because the father really, really wants that his son should understand what the Torah should understand. Now let's say the child did not learn with his father. He was passing by his father's study, and he heard his father saying over that piece of learning. He heard him say over the same piece of Gemara, with the same koyachas and nefesh, he heard his father saying over the piece of learning. So the Tanya says, Gamim hoya haben shomei dibur me'elu atzmai pi'oviv la'atzmai lo'hoya meivin kol kach k'moy achshav. The child would not understand that Torah the same way as what? As when the father is sitting with his child and learning with the child in a state of his kashrus of attachment. Because beforehand the child was passing by and he heard his father saying the Gemara, the child was standing outside the study. And he heard his father saying over the braces, saying over the Gemara, the Tosfos, whatever. He heard his father saying it. The Tanya says it's not the same thing as when the father is sitting with his son in a state of hiskashras. Right? When he's sitting with the child. And he's makashas sikhle elav. Umadar bi'imai panim el panim. And he's sitting there facing his child. He's sitting with him panim el panim, face to face. Bi'ahava, with great love. And the cheshik shechoshik ma'oiv. And the father has the greatest longing. Sheyovin b'noi, that his child should understand this. And the greater the cheshik, the longing, and the greater the delight, the tanig, that the father feels that this Torah is being given over to his child. So is the hashpah, so is the learning going to be greater. The child will be able to receive more. And the father is able to give over more than the Torah would have been when the father was saying it by himself. because of the father's longing and his great delight that is of learning with his child, of his child comprehending this Torah, both the mind of the father and the mind of the child become expanded. That the father's mind is expanded through, because cheshek and ahava, love always calls, love always brings about an expansiveness of thought, an expansiveness of feeling. So the father's love for his child, he's sitting and learning ponim upon him, there's a achovas hadas to give over that piece of Torah, to give over that gemara in a way that never ever could have been equaled had it been something which the father was learning, was thinking about, sitting alone in the study. There's a certain way of learning that takes place ponim uponim with the hiskashvus. Let me explain a little bit more. The Ramban, at the end of Bamidbar, the Ramban asks, why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah to list every single place where the Jewish people had been? It's a famous Ramban. Why was it necessary to put down every single place, all the stops in the desert? And the Ramban brings from the Rambam, from the Mori Nevuchim. The Rambam says that a person, b'shas ha'neis, when a person sees a miracle with his eyes, atam risim, when a person, when a person experiences with his eyes, when he sees it with his own eyes, the Ramban says, in the name of the Rambam, this is the bechina of what? Of asher ayin ba'ayin nira Hashem. That I saw Hashem's presence, not chalila Hashem, but I saw Hashem's presence ayin ba'ayin, with my mamash, with my eyes. However, the Rambam says, that's bechush. I mamash experienced it. However, what happens afterwards, the Ramban brings from the Mori Nevuchim, what happens afterwards is that original impact of seeing the miracle of one's eyes becomes dimmed as it's handed down in a mesoiris to the next generation. The next generation heard about this. They heard it from the one who was there. Right? They're hearing it from the person who was there. So the Rambam says that it's the teva of a person, it's the nature of a person to be kaifer and to be soyser of things that he hears. That if you heard something, it's a shmua. No. If you see something with your eyes, if you see something mamish with your eyes, to be kaifer, to be soyser, to reject, to what? To undermine that which the eyes themselves have revealed. It's davar rochik ma'od min haseichel. Very far from one's thoughts, very far from the intellect, but it doesn't make sense. But when a person already hears a shmua, you know, Sanzerov, the Vichaim used to say, the Vichaim said that when the Chassidim say, I mamish saw this myself by the Rebbe, it means that maybe he heard it. And if a Chassid says, I heard that this happened by Rebbe, it says, Loi hoyevel niv, it never happened. As Sanzerov said. You understand that there's something that takes place in the distilling, in that process, when one becomes distanced from the original wellspring of the water, where as a result of time it has the effect that in the course of transmitting this initial visual experience, when it's transformed, instead of being something which you can see with your eyes, it's something that you hear about. So the Rambam says in Meira that the nature of a person is to be kaifer and soyser, is to reject such things. Ach, hashmua. They say like this, they say like that, lavdavki, it didn't have to be that way, it's exaggerated. Therefore, the Ramban explains that certainly every single Jew believes, we're all ma'aminim, and we believed in the most amazing miracle that somehow millions of human beings were sustained for 40 years in a desert. Nisim and flows. That millions of people were sustained in a desert over the course of a generation. Millions of people. We believe in that, the Ramban says. However, the Ramban explains, ain't a doime, you cannot compare this to the person who sees with his eyes. who sees with his eyes, what is the meaning of what? Of the desolation of such a place. Because the Ramban says that if the Rebbeinu Shlom wouldn't have said this place, where every single one of us can go on a tiyul and is able to retrace the steps of our ancestors. Because the Ramban says, because if a person just heard about it, he would say, you know something, it happens that place is not so far from a city. It's a half hour walk, you can get to Ashkelon, you know. You can go, it's a little bit, it's not so far. So the Ramban says, therefore, what did the Rebbeinu Shlom do? The Rebbeinu Shlom listed every single place in the Torah along the way. So every single one of us can go there and look with our eyes, the Ramban said, see with your own eyes. So the person who's a Shemaya can make up all kinds of lies, can reject. He heard a rumor. But the Torah reveals this place so that each and every one of us should be able to experience Be'ineinu, Emuna Chushis, that our Emuna should be nurtured, should be nourished with a visual impact of seeing these places. And you know that you and I, maybe many of us have been to Eretz Yisrael many times, and Chalila, the experience has worn off. But you know that when you go to Eretz Yisrael and you see the place, when you go to that place, when you stop and you think, my father telling me that in his city, he told me there was a Jew that came back from Eretz Yisrael, and there was a huge Kabbalah. My father said he was a simple person. He was a wealthy person that went to Eretz Yisrael and he came back. And that was very unusual in those days. My father said that the whole city went to greet him. It was a big Kabbalah spot. They brought him into the shul, and the Rav sat down, and this guy was sitting there, you know, and the Rav was asking him, what did you see? What was it? We've already, unfortunately, because of the excessive, I mean, not unfortunately, Baruch Hashem, we're able to go to Eretz Yisrael, but like everything else in life, that we've become overly accustomed to something, and we take it for granted. But be'emes, in truth, when a person goes to the place and says, over here, last year I went with some of my chaverim. We went to the place, the ruins of Shiloh, of the Mishkan of Shiloh, and the cheshon of how far you're standing from the place where the Kodesh Kadoshim was. It jars you, it shakes you up, and so you're wondering. Now I was thinking about myself, why am I so shaken up by this? I'm a mamon. What, I don't believe that there was a place called Shiloh and that there was an Aron there? So what am I getting all emotional over here? Why am I getting all excited? I mean, I believe I'm on a Shleima. But I'm all excited. Because why? Because here is Shiloh. This is the place. And then you see that you see the way it says in the Gemara and Megillah, from where you're able to see. The whole thing is Meridic, and I was shaking with excitement. So does that mean that I'm not a Mamin? I got so excited when I was there? Of course, Chalila doesn't mean that. What it means is that Ein Adom Mishmila Riyah. For my entire life, I heard about Shiloh. I read about Shiloh, and I believed in it. But one sees with one's own eyes. Therefore, Rabbi Paschal explains there that the whole inyan of tefillah, and particularly brachas, when you say a bracha, The simplest bracha that we're so used to saying is another thing that we've gotten used to. Because every time you say bracha, you're really standing in mamish in the Kodesh Kedoshim. And when you're davening, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, you're mamish standing by the, you should feel that you're standing mamish by the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Chaskel says that the whole inyan of tefillas and brachas is what? Is to take the emuna that we have in our minds, that intellectual piece of information that we received in a Messiris, that someone gave me and told me, hey, there's a Baruch Hu that created that apple. So someone told that to me. That's good. But the whole meaning of a bracha is to lift one's emuna from a place of the intellect to a madrega that Rabbi Chaskel calls, in the name of his great Rebbe, the Alter from Kalim, emuna chushis. To feel it. That what? It's not just a messiah, but I am able to feel right now, in some way, the hand of the Rebbeinu Shalom that's giving me this piece of bread. I'm able to feel the Rebbeinu Shalom handing over me a glass of water to make a shahakal. And when I make that brocha shahakal niya bedvar, and I think about what the brocha means, it should have that impact upon me. That for a moment I'm transported back to a place where I see. of Atam Re'isim. But this can only work with his boininus, with thinking, with going back in one's mind and one's heart and remembering. Mipsori echze aloike, with my flesh I want to grab hold of the Rebbein Shalom. That's what it says in Pasuk. You have a person who would think, when you come out of the bathroom, Reifa Kolbosim, after the last word, it means a brocha, Sheyotze, Sa'odim, Bechachma, Uvorova, in the covenant, the covenant, if we would think about it, with his boininus, so then it wouldn't be just a matter of the intellect. It would be beresu bezeya be'ema beresu bezeya. It would be with awe. It would be with trembling. It would be in a way of being transported back to Har Sinai, to being part of Maamon Har Sinai. So Mamela, now we can understand, based upon this Tanya and Rav Chaska Levinstein, we can understand. Kol malam medes ben benoy Torah ki lekibla mehar Sinai. That if you teach your grandson Torah, it's ki'ilu kibla mehar Sinai. It's as if you received it from Har Sinai. And this Rav Hudna said is a chiddush davka in the Talmud Torah that takes place between a grandparent and a grandchild. And it's a different halach, it's a different gather of what if Talmud Torah that takes place in the way of Ishanant and Levenecha, a parent and a child. There's a way of learning Torah that's called a grandparent with a grandchild. And the chiddush over there is that when a grandparent sits with a grandchild, it's what ki'ilu kibla mehar Sinai. It's what re-experiencing Har Sinai. What that means is that when a child has the great schus to sit with his grandfather and to hear stories about the past and to hear something of what was and to learn Torah from the grandfather and to think that the grandfather saw the Chofetz Chaim or the grandfather saw this tzaddik, this Adam Gadol. When that happens, what's taking place really, listen carefully, it's not an easy point. What's taking place is that that child is skipping over the way that's called Messiahs, tradition, and in some level, in some way, there's a kfitza, there's a jump back to where? Back to the re'iyah, the vision of Har Sinai. That's why I've seen this with my own children. I could see it with my children and tell them, talk to them for hours. But when Zaidi comes and Zaidi says one thing, my father talks very little and he says a thing that he remembers, so the children are sitting around. It's not just because they don't have it as often. It's because in the inner life of the child there's an awareness that Zaidi is taking us back to Har Sinai. They're tasting something of what? They're tasting something of Kilo Kiblam Har Sinai, because when a person is learning with a grandchild, he's mimite, he's cutting down on the Messiahs. Because every generation away from Har Sinai is what? Not a generation of what? Transmitting, of tradition, of hearing. But when I go back to the Zayda, or if I'm able to go back to an Alta Zayda, then I'm getting closer to what? To that Bechina of seeing. Of seeing. So we know that our ancestors, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, they didn't have all of this Svarim, they didn't have Torah tapes. And they didn't have access to all these things that were able to, and yet they were, to a large extent, they were on fire with their Amunah. So when a grandchild learns with a grandfather, and Hashem Yisboch should help us that we should be grandparents like that, that when that happens, there is something that's being tasted, something here, there's a taste of what? Of Atam Re'isim, of Maamon Har Sinai. To the point that Chazal say, Kilo Kibla Mehar Sinai. Kamalam, it is Ben Benay Torah, Kibla Mehar Sinai. Kilo Kibla Mehar Sinai. It's as if he's re-experiencing Maamon Har Sinai. There's something of the Atam Re'isim that's there. Zaidi saw something. We heard it. It's something different. Therefore, a remarkable thing can be understood. Hashem Yisboch gave us the entire Torah in a bris. There's a bris, there's a covenant that we made with the Rebbein Shlomo. It's a bris. Rav Hutner says that although we are committed to a covenant, a bris, for the observance of the entire Torah. However, the Torah reveals that there's a second bris, there's a second covenant. V'yagil lechem es brisoi es aseres hadvar. I had a rabbi used to get very upset when he called it aseres hadibris. He says aseres hadvar. It's correct dictum. Everybody says aseres hadibris. And it says in Torah, aseres hadvar. Okay, having said that, there's a special bris over the aseres hadibris. Those luchas are called what? Luchais habris. In other words, Rav Hudna says it's interesting. Except us over here, there's a special bris. The ten commandments are part of Tayag Mitzvahs. You know that the Rishonim are very nervous even about standing up. It's brought down in Poskim, even standing up for, and the Tshuvas HaRambam, even standing up for the Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos of Eschan in Yisrael. Standing up for the Aseres HaDibros. Why? Because the Rambam was worried that perhaps there would be people who think that this is the whole Amunah of the Ten Commandments, that's all there is. So if one asks, what's the special bris? The Ten Commandments, the Aseres HaDibros, are part of Kol HaTorah Kula. And yet we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established a covenant which is over the two tablets, the Luchas, and they're called the Luchas HaBris. So Rav Hudna says, this is such a beautiful chiddush. There's a special bris. Not just a bris that you learn Torah, that you'll be people of Torah. That's one thing. Fine. That's a bris of Kol HaTorah Kula, that you observe the halacha, you keep the halacha, and you learn. And we entered into a covenant, and we made an agreement, and that applies to Kol HaTorah Kula. So he says, what's the bris of the luchas? So the bris of the luchas, Rav Hudna says, is what? Is limuda kinesinasa. Limuda kinesinasa means that we made an agreement with the Baruch Shalom that when we learn Torah and we're going to observe mitzvahs, we're not just going to do it as some cold intellectual act. We're not going to do it because we heard in a rumor or somebody told us that you're supposed to put on tefillin, you're supposed to keep Shabbos. You're supposed to learn Mesechta the Brachas, Mesechta the Shabbos. We're not going to learn in such a way. We're not going to keep Torah mitzvahs in such a way. We made a bris, Rav Hudna says, with Hashem on the luchas, and that luchas means that experience of what? Atem reisam, atah hareis ladas, the experience of be'ema, bereses, bezeya, that when the Torah was given to us, the luchas were given to us, it wasn't given to us in a way that we were bored, we were unexcited, we were unenthusiastic, that we heard this in like a rumor or something, it could be, maybe it's not, but there's an agreement, there's a covenant that was made, that we should make a hishtavlis, that our emunah should be lifted up, should be refined, like Rav Chaskel says, that it should be refined to become more and more. What kind of an emunah? An emunah chushes, an emunah b'chush, that our entire lives we devote to this bris that we made with Hashem, to try to feel the Torah, to try to experience it, to try to learn with a fire, to try to think about the broch and to go back to Har Sinai, to feel the impact, the impact of what it means to sit in the presence of greatness. What does it mean? So I was trying to explain to my son the other day, you know, that I was zeichet to go a few times and to Rav Moshe's apartment and to help make a minyan and to see Rav Moshe Feinstein. That already now that name that many of us were zeichet to see with our eyes, such a person, we took him for granted, unfortunately. But that you're standing by Har Sinai in the presence of such a person. And to be able to give that over to the children, that the children, when they hear about that, they should be able to somehow be transported back. And that there should be such teachers in our yeshivas, and such rebellion, that when they teach Torah, the Torah should be taught in such a way where the children are taken back to Har Sinai. The way that a Zayd is with a grandchild, that the children should lick every word from the Rebbe's fingers. Because the Rebbe gives it over in that way. Be'ema, be'reses, be'zeya. That the Torah is given over in that way. That the Torah is given mamish from the pnimius, from the heart, from the inner essence of who the Rebbe is. As the Tanya explains in the Geras HaKadosh, with a hiskashus, with an ahava, that's why students are called children. Because the same way that there's nothing more that a parent wants than the child should connect to Hashem, should understand. And therefore the father gives over his neshama when he learns with the child. So that's how a Rebbe is supposed to learn with his students. And only that way is the Torah given in such a way where it's limuda kenesinosa, that it's being taught in the way that Hashem gave it to us. Because when Hashem gave it to us, he was crying. When Hashem gave it to us, it was with a hiskashvus. When Hashem gave it to us, it was a mesira of Torah. It wasn't just teaching it. It doesn't say Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai v'lomda liYisrael. He taught it to us. Teaching is cold. Teaching is blackboard curriculum. You need it. 100% you need it. It's the shayla. But if that's all the Rebbe has to offer, or the teacher has to offer, is a blackboard in the curriculum, that Torah will never end up by the grandchildren or the grand students. It'll never happen. Limuda, that the limud should be in such a way. Kenesinasa, it means that when a Rebbe teaches, when a person teaches Torah to a Jewish child, that the child should feel atam reisim. They say that by the Baal Shem HaKadosh, when they were in Bismedrish by Shvi Shal Pesach, the Baal Shem HaKadosh said, Oz Yoshir, they used to hold up their coats, they were afraid that maybe they were walking into the Yam, they would get a little bit wet on the side. When they heard the Baal Shem HaKadosh say, Oz Yoshir. And now, where are we holding? If we'd be walking through the Yam, we'd say, Oz Yoshir. We think we're waiting for the A train or F train. Chalila. Because the emunah chushis that a Rebbe must give to the child, that a parent must give to a child, is a different b'china of learning. And if we're Jews today, it's because each of us had some teacher, some Rebbe, some parent, some grandparent that was able to give it over. Not because of the curriculum and the blackboard. It's all good. But without the limudak and the sinasa, without the aima, without that awe, the restis, the zeya, the trembling, the perspiration, then you can never create a wet. Or you're standing by Hasina, they say from the Chayzer, from the Yid HaKadosh, and you would hear the Koilus of Brokim, you'd hear the thunder on Shavuos. To feel that. That is the Torah, that's the kind of a Torah that's Ke'ilu Kibla Meharsina. It's a Chiddush in Talmud Torah. It's a new way of teaching Torah. It's not that I heard a rumor. And everybody's wondering, what's the matter with the kids? What's the matter with the kids? Are we asking ourselves what's the matter with us? The kids. In other words, there's an interruption. Something's not being transmitted. So everybody has tiredness, this, that, society, culture, it's all true. But we as parents have to do a lot of soul searching. The teachers, the Rebbeim, have to do a lot of soul searching. How are they giving it over? That's not the only reason. I'm not saying them. That's oversimplifying is obviously ridiculous. But before we point fingers at everything in the world and say this is so, fech, and then we're wondering after we turned everything off and took out all the plugs, how can the kids still not become a Chofetz Chaim? Everything's off. I have no internet. I turned off the television. I got rid of the radio. There are no CDs and no cassettes. No electricity. Nothing. Mamish nothing. And you move to a tent because you want to be far away from the evils of Manhattan, of civilization. And your kid's still not saying Kriya Shema the way the Rebbe Lapian said Kriya Shema on a Tuesday. So what's going on? So at some point we have to ask ourselves. We can't just blame. All of those things contribute. And I talk about it all the time. You know, I'm always screaming about that stuff. But Be'emes, in the deepest way, we're failing in the bris of learning with grandchildren. We're failing in the luchas habris. The luchas were a heftza of seeing. You understand? The luchas habris were an object of experience. That's what they call luchas habris. And every bris means that the two sides agree. A bris, obviously, in every bris you have two sides. So what was the Baruch Shalom's commitment? In a bris you have to have both sides make a commitment. So what's the Baruch Shalom's commitment? So it's the commitment that we say every day in davening, and sometimes more than once. V'ani zayis brisi oisam omar Hashem. This is my end of the deal. This is my part of the deal. Ruchi asher alachu dvarei shasamti v'ficha. Lo yamushu mepichu mepizerach mepizera zeracha omar Hashem me'ata v'adoylam. That if you learn Torah in this way, of Limuda Kenesinasa, of Ben Benoy, of being by Har Sinai, of experience, of seeing, of breathing Yiddishkeit. If you give Torah over in such a way, Hashem says, I will promise you. I will make a promise, I'll make a deal with that family, with you. That what?
that the words, that my words will never go away, from the mouths of your children, your grandchildren, may atavad olam till the last moment, till the end of time, your children and grandchildren will be Jewish, will be Yidden, really Yidden. That's the Luchas HaBris. Now let's come back to the beginning. And here we're returning to Rav Hutner's Chiddush. So you remember at the very beginning where we asked us, what does it say when Yeshua HaMelech is putting away the Aron? That he said, we're not going to have any more this mitzvah of Masa Bekosef, of carrying the Aron on the shoulders. Chaval. So the question that we asked, and that was this parasha, the mitzvah of carrying the Aron, of the Levim, Kahanim. So the question we ask is that this is the whole Churban? I mean, this is the Golus. This is, you know, as if all of Kedushas Yisrael, all that we have to lose in Golus can be summed up with, we can't carry the Aron anymore on our shoulders. So Rav Hutner says, the deeper meaning of this is, because the halacha was that Masa Bekosef, what was unusual about how they carried the Aron, as all of you know, they had to carry the Aron how? Ponim el ponim. That's how they walked, ponim, face to face. Ponim el ponim, face to face. That means that the luchos, which are the bris, over the type of Torah that's given, ponim el ponim, like the Alter Rebbe writes in Tanya, where the father sits with a hiskashrus with his child, the way that Hashem gave us the Torah in Hasina, where he faced us and we faced him. So how are the luchos that contain within them the mystery of that bris, of that agreement to face each other, to give ourselves over to each other from the very depths, how is that bris revealed in the mitzvah, in the mitzvahs of the Beis HaMikdash? So Rav Hutner says, with this prat, with this detail of Masa Bekosef, because Masa Bekosef means, dafke what? Ponim upon him. That the luchas ha-bris, which are a chefs of seeing Har Sinai, have to be transported how? In a way where the Jews would see ponim upon him, face to face. Atem Risa. Ponim beponim dibra Hashem imochem, as it says by Maimon HaSinai. Ponim beponim dibra Hashem imochem. Therefore, when the Torah, the luchas habris are being taken, they have to be taken in that surah of what? Ponim beponim, face to face. Therefore, we understand now that when Yeshua HaMelech, when the Aron was being put away into Geniza, and he said, there's no longer going to be right now the mitzvah of Masa Bekosef of carrying the Aron in this way of ponim el ponim, and the Aron would be put into Geniza. So Rav Hutner says, we have a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim, from the Svarma Kedoshim, that any time a Chefta Shel Kedusha, any time a holy object is concealed, Geniza doesn't mean it's lost, Geniza doesn't mean it's ruined, Geniza means that until that was functioning in a revealed and open, and what? In a way that we could mamish experience, when it's put into Geniza, when it's hidden, so then that object of Kedusha continues to function, but in a way of its kasi of concealment. It's not lost, it's concealed. The Beis HaMikdash is still affecting our lives now. The Aron is still affecting our lives. The Mishkan is still affecting our lives. Because all the Kedusha of Knesset Yisrael that is no longer in our hands, those Chepse Kedusha that are no longer in our hands, are in a state of Geniza, which means biskasi, in a way of concealment. And in that way of biskasi, in the way of concealment, there's still an effect, there's still a ripple effect upon the Doris from that original Mitzias of the Chefza of the Luchas HaBris. Therefore, the Kedushas HaBris, the sanctity of that Bris that we made with Hashem, of Atam Re'isim, to be Jews, that give over Torah with fire and with fear, in a real way, in a deeper way, that bris, Yeshua said, in a revealed way, is now stopping. And he said, therefore, Ein lachem oid maso bekosef. We are no longer able to physically carry the Aron on our shoulders, facing each other. And now this experience of seeing, of facing, of ponim beponim, diba Hashem imochem, is going to be concealed in the depths of the earth. But even during this time, the Jewish people have the achrayis to try somehow to come into contact, to somehow in our lives
to tap into that bris that we made over the luchas. It's not gone. But it embodies all that the Beis HaMikdash means. Ponim b'ponim. To face the Baruch Shalom. When you're facing a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're not bored when you daven. When you're facing a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you learn differently. When you're facing a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you're at Har Sinai, you're not sitting there with your feet up falling asleep. When you're at Har Sinai, your mom is awake. And that's the bristle made with Hashem, and that's how we have to learn Torah now. May Melo be understand a remarkable thing. That this same parasha contains within it what the Birchas Kahanim, Duchening, the Kahanim, the mitzvah to give a bracha to Knesset Yisrael. And the mitzvah, some Rishonim understand it, that Jews should be mizborchim, that we should seek such a bracha. And what's the union of Birchas Kahanim? This is how you should bench Yidden. So the Gemara in Sota learns out what? Ponim keneged ponim. That you have to face the Kahanim. Those people are very, very firm, and they turn, the Kahanim are there, and they turn like this, Chalila. So they're not begin the bracha at all. They're not part of the bracha. Or if you're standing behind the Kohen, the Kahanim is standing here. And you're standing behind the Kohen, you're not in the bracha. The bracha is davkin, halacha l'maisa. The bracha is davkin in such a way of ponim keneged ponim, face to face. Because that's how you bless someone that you love. You give over in such a way. Ponim upon. That's why the bracha says, "Asher kedushonu b'kedushos shel Aharon v'tzivonu levorches Am Yisrael bi'ahava." Because when there's love, when there's behemoth love, then it's given over in a way of ponim keneged ponim, face to face, not ponim keneged ocher, not turning away. Ponim keneged ponim means I'm giving you over the very essence of who I am. It means ben beno, it means your grandson. It means chush. It means bechush. It means to experience something. Therefore, in Birchas Kahanim, it says in Pasuk, Yoer Hashem pono ve'lecho v'ichuneko. That the end of Birchas Kahanim is in the way of Yoer Hashem pono ve'lecho. That there's a he'oros ponim. That means that the Baruch Shalom is looking at us with love. There's a he'oros ponim. That's a bechina of Atam Risa. And Mimelu, there's another parasha in this parasha. It's the parasha of Saita. Of the unfaithful wife. Because even though the Torah tells us that she's tested and perhaps she comes out in a better way, nevertheless, this is not a pleasant situation, and there was already reason to suspect that something terrible had taken place. Certainly on some level there was unfaithfulness, as we know. So this parasha of the Saita, you know what it means. And here, really, I need to be ma'arich for a long time, and davka, when it gets interesting, I'm going to stop. That there's a bris nisuin, there's a bris between a husband and a wife. There's a bris, marriage is a bris. The bris nisuin is a bris of ponim keneged ponim, of two people who face each other. That's why the kruvim on the oren, which is the luchas, that contains the luchas of bris, everybody knows that when the kruvim were facing each other, it was a siman that things were good between Klai Yisrael and the Baruch Shalom. And everybody also knows, as the Rishonim all explained, and it's found already in Chazal, that the kruvim were created in such a way of zocher and nekeva, male and female. Male and female. And even the kruvim, even though the kruvim are very hidden, and the love between husband and wife is something that's supposed to be very, very hidden. Bechadre chadarim. It's something which is very personal and very private. It's not that you're sitting in your office in front of 20 people and say, "Yeah, I love you, see you later." Because when a person gives over, when there's real ahava, when ahava comes from a deep place, which is ponim keneged ponim. As it says, by the kruvim upneim ish alecha, in such a way of facing each other. Then no one else is allowed to come in between. Any zara karev, you must. Whoever doesn't belong, you must, dies. Whoever comes between, whoever tampers with that bris of a husband and wife, is in the bechina of a zara karev. Because by the chuppah, you know, when I spoke about it a little bit last week, the chuppah, the chasana, is a bechina of Maimon Har Sinai, as we know. And therefore, we have many customs by the chuppah to take us back to Har Sinai. The chuppah is a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. Sometimes in life, after two people have their Mamad HaSinai, they no longer feel that connection of Panim Keneged Panim. They just hear about it. They don't see it anymore. Where there's true Ahava, where there's a bris between two people, it means that even in the Choshech, even in the difficult times that lie ahead for everybody in life, difficulties with children, with Parnassah, and so on, nevertheless, both the husband and wife are able to have an emunah chushes in each other and their love for each other. They're able to be back at Har Sinai, be'ema bereses b'zeya, be'yir b'zeya, and to feel that connection, that hiskashus in a panimistic way of panim keneged panim, not just a mesora that I have. I received in a mesora such an ahava. That's not an ahava. Limuda kinesinosa means that the same way that you were by the chuppah, and even more so, even after many, many, many years, and you're ready at the Ekev, you're ready at the bottom, you're ready at the end, afal pichein, that bris is in that way of ponim keneged ponim. And the whole parasha of Saita that we have in this week's parasha, that whole discussion of the Saita means the story where something went wrong, where there was a Saita, as it's explained, is a from the Lashon of Stiyam and Haderach. Because with the Shin and with the Samach is interchangeable. Stiyam, and that's why you see someone says it with a Sin also, Saita. You look in some Rambams, some Gemaras. Because any time that the husband and wife stop looking at each other, then there's that possibility, God forbid. When they're not ponim, keneged ponim, to try to talk to each other, try to understand, to try to really give over, if mamish in a panimistic way, when there's a stiyam in haderech, then from that can come out, chas v'chalil, can come out the kilkul of a soita, of an unfaithful husband, an unfaithful wife. From that little stiyam in haderech, that began in such a way, as a little bit looking someplace else, where the yoin, as you know, is praised, and shir hashem einayach yoinim, you have eyes like a dove, because the yoin, from the time that they meet, they never take their eyes off each other. That's the relationship that we're supposed to have with the Baruch Shloilu. That's the relationship of the Rus Dovkapa. Arpa is the Lashon of Ha'orif. It means the back of the head. Her name is Arpa. She turned away. And because she turned away, the rest, as you know, what happened from Arpa. What became from Arpa. The Rus Dovkapa. The Rus Dovkapa. But Rus continued to look at Naomi. She didn't turn away. And from that koyach of Rus, Verus Dovka Ba, comes David Malka Mashiach. Comes out Mashiach Tzikain. That person is going to be able to look at each and every one of us in the eyes. Because you know, when people stop loving each other, they can't look in each other's eyes. They can't look in each other's eyes. When they stop loving each other, God forbid, if there's something unfaithful, Chalila, if there's something wrong, they can't look at each other. They can't. Because there's a kilkul in Panim Keneged Panim, there's something that went wrong. Therefore, in this last generation, it's very late, I don't have time to tell you my sister. In this last generation, at the end of time, we have more than ever an achrayis. We have an achrayis as teachers, as rebbeim, as parents, as husbands and wives, to increase relationships of Panim Keneged Panim. To intensify these relationships, to be able to be people who are able to look in the eye, and to be able to face the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to know what that means, to face the Ribbono Shel Olam when you're learning, to know what it means when you're facing the Ribbono Shel Olam when you're davening, and to know what it means for a husband and wife to face each other, and a parent and a child to face each other. Because the times that we're living in, Rabbi says, the biggest machla, and I talk about this all the time, the biggest machla is shallowness, is superficiality. Shallowness. Forgive me for saying something now I'm not saying it because I'm thinking, I'm saying it because I'm feeling, so the Baruch Shalom should prevent me from making a mistake, because I should always think about something first. But you know, when you go, so people, I wrote about this once, and I got such an earful from all these, from this whole subculture, this music subculture in New York. I don't know what, where, who they are. I'm sure they're all wonderful people, they're all shomer mitzvahs, they bring up their children, I'm sure, in the right way. It used to be, you know, a person wants to hear a niggun. You go to hear somebody play a niggun. You see an elchi yid playing a niggun. And you know, it causes a hisayrus. It makes you feel atem reisam. It has a way of taking you back to
taking you on the Gina, it's gewaldige koich. It could take you mamish back to Sinai. Because the Baruch Hashem gave the Torah with the Gina. What do you think he said? Anoich Hashem Mokecha. He said it with a niggin. And when you hear a niggin takes you back to Sinai. But the but what's happening now, and with these concerts and the whole commercialization, if you hear the nagun, then I don't even call them nagunim because it's too, it's not even, you can't even call them nagunim, this noise that's imitating the lowest and the worst of secular society. And they throw in a pasuk from Tanakh, boom, 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 with a pasuk. So they were wondering, how come we're not getting inspired by these nagunim? Apella, how are you supposed to get inspired by them? They're not imitating anything that's holy. They're imitating everything that's base and low, that's coarse, that's prust. And the dances at the chasnas and all of these things were so far, but Baruch Shalom has to help us. Even our Yiddishkeit, it used to be that a person wanted entertainment, so he went to the, you know, he went to the Kaskels to a show. You don't have to do that now. You can go to Nassau Coliseum and Cholomoyed. Have a beautiful show. They'll do the same thing. People will hold matches, you'll have everybody swaying and acting a certain way, you'll have Noshim, you'll have men and women, you'll have Bachur, Megam, Basulis, Kenim, Norim, everything. It's Kedush and Tahara. Kedush and Tahara. All these tapes, these concerts, trash. Not to say the people, I'm not saying God forbid on the people. Chas v'chalil, I want them to all have a pranos and they're all nice Jews. But the commercialization of something that's holy. It, I don't know if any of you feel the pain that I feel when I hear this, when I see this, and I wonder what's going to be with my children. Because the, I'm putting on a certain kind of a niggun, and they look at each other like, oh, here goes daddy again with it. You know, and they're just waiting till I go out to get something in the store, and then right away they switch the tape. And I come back in, I hear the cars moving around, boom, boom, boom. And I'm trying to, you know, the children are not hearing it. I don't know what to do about it. Maybe you have an answer for me. But it's not real. It's not real. It's so shallow. It's so superficial. It's so superficial. The music. It's superficial. Droshes, talks, Torah, where is it? What? From where is it coming? What are our children getting? And then we have tainus about the, Hashem Yisbarach should help us. That we should be real Jews. We should be pnimis d'giyudin that know how to give over Torah mitzvahs in a way that our grandparents gave it to us and great grandparents. And we should be zeicher for the time that we should be able to see with our own eyes. V'sechazen einenu b'shuv Hashem letzion b'rachamim v'vias gol tzedek mehem yameinu amein v'amein.